Good morning. Good to see everyone. I'm grateful to be here this morning with a group of brethren to study the Word of God on this Lord's Day. As we begin, I want to talk about taking a stand. It's been said of those, if we will not stand for something, we will fall for anything. That being said, if we don't have strong beliefs or principles to stand by, we are likely to be swayed by any idea or influence that comes along. If we really believe the Word of God is truly, the Bible is truly the Word of God, then nothing should get in our way concerning our beliefs. Be not deceived, Galatians 6, verse 7. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Many folks may deceive themselves into believing that they can do as they please in this life and somehow avoid facing consequences. Because many have survived for many years without any obvious penalty for their corrupted lives, they grow convinced that there will be no penalty. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Solomon penned in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. So what this is saying is that men do evil because they think that they can get away with it. We can best believe that God promises to punish the wicked are just as sure as his promises are to reward the righteous. So hopefully this lesson encourages us to be stronger for the truth and never be in doubt when it comes to our Lord. And know that he is always in control, no matter if you believe or not. He is the creator of all things, Psalms 24, verses 1 and 2. And as we begin, I will be giving thought to some of the positions or postures that can be helpful in our walk. First, we are to stand. Standing represents actively upholding your values, while falling signifies being easily influenced by something you don't necessarily agree with. You can take a group of people that practice false religion by doing things contrary to the teaching of the Bible, such as instrumental music and worship service, praise dancing, and running around in the auditorium saying that they received the Holy Ghost. By their behavior, they persuade and mislead a lot of individuals in our society today. Another example, a teenager who doesn't want to stand out might readily adopt to negative behaviors or opinions just to fit in with the group, even if they don't personally agree with them. Influence thinking can be effective and has a big impact on our nature of life. That's why it's so important to practice what is taught in the Word of God. And be examples of what godly living looks like around those whom we come in contact with. And not be gullible or naive when it comes to certain situations. Standing. My question is, what is it that we stand for? Freedom, believe it or not, but everybody wants freedom. Freedom is defined as the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. It is also associated with liberty and autonomy in the sense of giving oneself one's own law. In one definition, something free carries the ideal of not being in prison or enslaved. Jesus said to those Jews that believe on him in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In these verses, Jesus lets us know what a disciple is and how the truth opens the door of life for us and gives us freedom. A disciple believes in the teacher and seeks to obey the teaching of the teacher, sort of like a parent and a child. The child is going to pick up on what the parent teaches them. If a child sees a parent praying and honoring God repeatedly, as that child grows older, it will start to pray and honor God as well. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up to the nurturing and the admonition of the Lord. And ye children, you must obey your parents, for this is right. honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it might be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 4. There are good motives for honoring and obeying godly parents. This precept has never lost its power. There has never been a time when it's not enforced, and there will never be a time when it no longer will be required. The home is the basis of society, and society cannot be stronger than the homes which forms it. Powerful attacks against the home are being made for several generations, divorce for any cause. Remarriage without the right were popularized by famous people in Hollywood. In our modern times, so-called marriage between gay and lesbian people has been made acceptable. A large number of regular people are living together without marriage. This also has become acceptable. The church comprises individual Christians, members of one body, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. These Christians are a part of a home with more people. If the home is not what it ought to be, and the Christians are not what they ought to be, then the church of which they are a part of is weakened to the same extent. Abide in my word means to obey him. Real freedom is not the freedom to do anything we want or desire. It's when we wish to do the right things and follow through to do them. Jeremiah 10:23. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. This statement made by Jeremiah is one continually to be heeded by sinful man. As long as men seek to be guided by their own counsel and what seems good to them, they are destined for frustration and defeat. Jeremiah prayed for correction and for the Lord to have mercy upon lost souls who was against the law of God. We too have to quit fighting against the truth by being disobedient and stand firm upon the doctrine of Christ, which sets us free. This freedom belongs to God's children, who are under the faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26. Those who look into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed, James stated in James 1:25. Revelation 22:9. John penned, then said he unto me, now this is an angel talking to John, as John fell down to try to worship the angel. See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. We are to worship God and him only, Matthew 4:10. No other creature or thing we are to worship and keep the sayings of this book. If we do that, then we are free to call him our Father and stand on the promises, which is a freedom that nothing can compare. This is a freedom that we are to fight for every day. Satan is not going to let up. No matter if you're 25 or if you're 85, Satan wants you. He doesn't care how old you are. He doesn't respect what you are going through. He can care less about you. Because why? Because he hates you. The Bible clearly teaches that if you go to hell, it will be because of you. So important question, who are you serving? Who are you fighting against? You are an enemy of God if you're not following his word. Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If one goes to war or fights in a battle, he cannot fight for both sides. A two-sided character is said to be two-faced, deceitful, fake, dishonest. A person who has conflict within themselves. A double-minded man is unstable in his ways, James 1, verse 8. Jesus is teaching that we cannot lay up treasures on earth and in heaven at the same time. Indeed, devoted, we are to be devoted in serving God and him only. We can't live worldly and walk spiritually in the Spirit's teaching and accomplish anything profitable to the saving of our souls. We walk by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. In Galatians 5, verse 17, Paul penned, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. A person's spirit wants to obey God. The flesh wants to have its desires satisfied. The flesh wins many of these battles. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Our Lord stated to the disciples in John 6:63. The desire of the flesh has scripture avenues of fulfillment. When we seek to gratify a desire of the flesh by an unholy method, sin results. When we place the fulfillment of fleshly desire above spiritual duty, sin results. When the flesh rules the spirit, sin results. However, the body is a tool by which overt acts of sins are committed. Therefore, the spirit pays the great penalty. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is a fight that the gospel requires of its believer. We are to fight against the sins and errors cultivated by men and organizations. We are to fight against the temptations which assails us privately. We are to fight against sins and errors which are a problem, a special problems in our lives. In 1 Timothy 6:12, Paul wrote Timothy, instructing him to fight the good fight of faith. Fighting is a position that we are to be in as we lay hold on eternal life. There is a war going on, and we are all entangled in this spiritual war. And we must put on our spiritual armor and fight the good fight of faith. Fighting the fight of faith involves the use of spiritual weapons against spiritual foes. Satan methods are weapons of the flesh. He uses idolatry, hatred, witchcraft, liars, murderers, slanders, deceit, and all the things that the world has to offer to make us fall. Our weapons are the word of God, 2 Corinthians 10:3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having our readiness fulfilled, have readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Loyalty is what Paul is saying in those verses. If we stood loyal to Christ as we do for the U.S. flag, our nation will be great because it was built up on that rock, which is Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:4. Be loyal and true to God. Walk in the light, Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham, saying unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. The idea of walking before or in front of some authority figure is for a proper inspection of the individual's way. Not to take the lead, but that God will be examining our conduct. We read of individuals walking with God, such as Enoch and Noah, being told to follow after God in Ephesians 5:1. And here Abraham being told to walk before God. Abraham and Sarah had run ahead of God in the sense that they was trying to do God's part in providing the seed promise when they both thought that they were too old to reproduce. Genesis 17:17. Being perfect is not saying live a sinless life. The term perfect means completeness, maturity, and wholeness. Matthew 5:48, we are told to be perfect, even as God is perfect. But according to the context, the perfection of God being discussed is his love for his enemies just as well as for his friends. If we love all men, enemy and friend alike, then we are perfect as is God, but not sinlessly perfect. Abraham walked with God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God, James 2:23. We are not perfect to the degree of God, but we can mature in our walk with him. Follow his ways. Mold us to be like him. Ephesians 5:1-2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savior. God establishes a pattern that he expects us to follow. Jesus is that pattern. In John 8:12, Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The word of the gospel gives illumination. It shows us the way to Christ, the way to serve God acceptably, the way to worship God properly, the way to live, and the way to heaven. Being the light of the world, those who follow his directions will not walk in darkness, but in his light. Psalm 119, 104 and 5. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The more we read and get understanding from the Bible prepares us for what this day brings and a much better future. It is comforting to know that heaven awaits for us all, and it is worth dying for. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He did it for us so that we can be with him. It is through the freedom that he gave that we are to be thankful for. Galatians 5 verses 1. Paul penned to the Galatian brethren. He states, stand therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Freedom implies deliverance. Freedom in Christ was a deliverance from the power of sin. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Some of us just don't get it. We want to practice pleasure and follow worldly desires and fall into the trap of sin. Things that satisfy to ourselves, things that make us happy. No matter if it destroys others, as long as self is all right, that's all that matters. To have that mindset, we fall for anything. With no respect for God or the Bible, we have no standing ground whatsoever. Christ was hated by many and loved by few. Paul and the other apostles faced the same reaction on the part of their contemporaries. Even faithful Christians today face the same. Having enemies and suffering persecutions does not prove the sufferer's part in rightness, but it connects with other evidences that their standing with God can be learned. Without Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. Without him, we have no standing ground whatsoever. Matthew 7 verses 24 through 27. Jesus said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken it to him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And when the rains descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat up on that house, it fell not, because it was founded upon the rock. And whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains came and descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat up on that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. You and I must stand upon that rock, which is the teaching of Christ. If we fail to do so, we will fall for anything. Are you standing for the Lord? You are not if you don't know how. The Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11 verse 6. We must hold our positions when it comes to the Lord. He held his position for us. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And in 1 John 5 verse 1, and whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. This means that we are to believe and keep on believing. In John 8:24, for if you believe not that Jesus is the Christ, you shall die in your sins. Saddest thing that you can do is leave her in unbelief. And that's not what you want. That's not what nobody wants, because hell is a horrible place to go to. I encourage you to repent. In Acts 17 verse 30, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Repentance requires a change, and we are to change from the way of the world and follow after the law of God. His way of love differs from what the world teaches about love. In John 14 verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Jesus is saying, whosoever continues to hold and keep his commandments, his commands, is the one who loves him. So he promised to always be with those who do his blessed will in Matthew 28:20. We are to confess. 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. That confession affirms that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Acts 22:16. And why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. As Paul was told, he needed to come into contact with the blood of Christ if we want our sins forgiven. And we also have to come in contact with the blood of Christ if we want our sins forgiven. And how are we to do so? In Romans 6:3-4, that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried by him by baptism unto death. That's like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. One cannot live a new life until one has died to the old life of sin. Baptism cleanses the soul of its guilt and puts us into Christ so we too can have a relationship with the Father and so ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And he that endureth until the end shall be saved. Or maybe you have put on Christ in baptism. Or maybe you need prayers from the church. I just given an invitation. If you're subject to it, please come now while we stand and sing.